It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. What a Monday morning for everybody. Finally, I look up to the heavens. Thank you, dear God, on October the 25th of 2021. Welcome, everyone, into what should be just an uplifting, magnificent DiPietro and Rothenberg show. On this Monday morning. Good morning, Rick. How are you? You look beautiful. Absolutely.
I don't want to hear another word
morning.
From you. I don't want to hear another complaint. Nothing. Not another word. And on top of it, you came after me on Thursday with some constructive criticism. I don't know about wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. I spent the whole weekend brainstorming of a new open. And then you come in on Monday with wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
Well, I was mocking you is what I was doing.
Of course
it sounds silly.
Because that's what you do.
In fact, I talked to a buddy of mine who loves you. Like he's like, I like you. I love Rick. I was like, you never met him. I love him. I like him better than I like you. I was like, really? Yes. I'm not kidding. He tells me that all the time. He says, I got to be honest. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. No, not feeling it anymore. So maybe
people
it's time.
It. The people love it. Wendy's loves it.
Maybe it's
all
maybe tying it's time.
In, Dave. All tying it. Sounded like, good when you
up.
Said it.
You grow up.
No.
I think you're going to like it. When you hear yourself saying it coming back, you may actually use it as the open for the show, period.
I don't see that happening. I think it's more of a mockery situation, to be honest with you. So here we are, Monday morning, October 25th, and there's finally something positive to talk about with New York football. Giants, a throttling victory. Daniel Jones played really well. Defense was exceptional. How about this for you? We'll get to the Jets in a moment, by the way. 800-919-3776. I saw this stat. I couldn't believe it. The Giants won comfortably, right? 22 points, 25-3, the final?
Yeah.
When was the last time the Giants won a game with that margin of victory? When would you say? Take a moment. Sit back. Last time the Giants won a game with that margin of victory.
I feel like I saw this stat. I feel like I saw it. I can't tell if it's the same one. I want to say 1979.
No. 1979? No. I thought what I was going to say was impressive, but no, I'm not going back to when you weren't born. No. 2012.
That sounds about right.
That's a long time to have not won a game by 3 touchdowns.
You've been bad for a long time.
That's a long time.
Well, I get it, but you've been bad for a long time. Your offensive line's been bad for a long time. And for a lot of that game, your offensive line was really bad.
Well, the offensive line is really bad.
I'll tell you what my takeaway from that game was, and I'm happy for you. I'm glad you won. Because I need this rejuvenated Dave Rothenberg on a Monday. My takeaway was one of two things. Either Daniel Jones was not healthy enough in reality to be playing against the Rams. Or you thought you had no chance to beat the Rams. Because the way they called plays yesterday...
Yeah, they were aggressive yesterday, huh?
That was like, we could get Danny Dimes killed, doesn't matter, as long as we win this game. That was all hands on deck. Joe Judge needs to quiet the noise. We got to win, and I don't care what we have to do to win.
They rolled him out yesterday. They're running not even read options yesterday.
No.
They're running real options.
Design runs.
Right? But, I mean, they're running actual option plays. They're lining him up, and he's catching passes, which, by the way, what a catch that was.
Huge hit. Yeah, but he took a huge hit.
Oh, yeah. That, to me, felt unnecessary. Like, you're going to get the guy killed at some point.
They're going to get him killed. That was, seriously, watching that game, I'm like, you go from Eli Manning, who never missed a start with injury, and this kid feels like he's a play away from being out of the game. Because, and especially yesterday, the way they called plays. I mean, it seemed like every play they're rolling, which is fine. But I'm asking myself, well, why didn't you do that against the Rams then? Because your offensive line stunk against the Rams too.
Oh, it's beyond bad. Like, it's tragic to look at that offensive line. They are at that level of being incapable. But that being said, Giants with a big win, first win like that since 1947. Tremendous job by the Giants. I actually, if I was with you yesterday, because this is the kind of friend I am, if I were with you yesterday, I would have just given you a hug. I would have brought you a cup of tea, and I would have given you a hug.
Corey Davis! Corey Davis!
That was horrible, man. I'm sorry you had to sit through that. I mean, we are Halloween season. That was worse than Mike Myers. That was worse than Freddy Krueger. That was worse than Jason Voorhees. That was terrible yesterday.
You read the text I sent the group?
Yeah.
And I meant every word of that. I would have rather given Carlin a sponge bath than have to watch that game, especially the second half.
You know, a sponge bath can be very, very uplifting.
Oh, it's terrific. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about sponge bath with Chris Carlin is necessarily what you want to be doing, but I would have done it. If I didn't have to watch the second half of that game, I would have done it.
I think I'm jolly.
You know, as a Jets fan, that you've reached rock bottom when the bright spot for yesterday wasn't even the game your team played, was when I turned the Giants game on after the Jets game and watched Sam Darnold struggle and felt good about it.
I told you that was going to make you feel good at some point.
It made me feel good about it.
Right?
That was it. Because yesterday, that game, I mean, it's clear. Bill Belichick despises the Jets.
He wanted 52. He was like, we're going to score another touchdown, people. We had 7 minutes to go. We're not running it out. We want points.
They emptied the bag of trick plays.
I know.
Emptied it against the Jets of all teams. I got Richard Seymour talking about, yeah, Bob, don't worry about it. Once we get done at this rub and tug, I'll do the homecoming game against the Jets. No big deal. Because that's a guaranteed win. This is now 12 straight. And
we
embarrassed them.
You know, like when we started the season and we were analyzing what the Jets were going to be and what they needed to be. We said, they don't need to win games.
No, be competitive.
All they need to do is compete. Rick, compete. And it's not like you played the 85 Bears who hammered you. New England is, middle of the road in the NFL? Like, they're nice. They're competitive, but they're hardly great. You don't look at that New England team and say, oh my God, I'm terrified. They were 7-point favorites. They beat you by 40. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm beside myself this morning.
No, but I think the biggest takeaway from yesterday's game and the reason why there's some concern now, I mean, is one, Zach Wilson is hurt.
Right. We don't know the severity of it.
Yeah, and that hit, say what you want, that Lawrence guy hit on the sideline, that's a cheap hit. Come on. I mean, it's late, it's low. I'm lucky. I'm surprised he didn't hurt himself on that play because his knee twisted up all funny. But he's out. Looks like it could be a PCL, so who knows. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, because again, rookie quarterback, rookie head coach, a lot of people look at, you know, how does your team come out of the bye? Or does your team come out of the bye? And clearly the Jets team did not come out of the bye. And this is a Patriots team you've already played once.
And you should know a little bit.
Exactly right. And I get it. You're going to Foxborough, the whole thing, fine. But that wasn't even a competitive game, man. I mean, the Patriots scored on all five possessions in the first half of that game. I thought we spent the time working on getting off to a better start. That didn't look like a better start offensively to me.
Better start? You trailed by 31-7 at the half. I mean,
they haven't scored a point in the first quarter yet, Dave.
Still,
not a point.
Well, still. I mean, we are now heading into week 8 of the NFL season. You haven't scored a point in the first quarter. Now, how you beat Tennessee is beyond me. But you did. But Rick, the eye test looks horrible. Horrible. How can you sit here right now and tell me that you like Robert Saleh? I don't think you can.
Well, you can't right now. You don't know. And that's really the problem is you don't. You have no idea. This is what happens when you hire somebody that's never been a head coach before. and you pair him and you allow him to pair himself with a rookie offensive coordinator, and now you got the rookie quarterback who clearly is not ready. I mean, it's even when you brought in Mike White, who's, I mean, that was his first real game action he's seen in the NFL, right? The offense, I'm not going to say it looked good, but it looked a lot less frantic than when Zach Wilson was in at quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, Zach Wilson is at a point, right? He's not ready. I mean, let's face it, he's just not ready. He isn't. Justin Fields, not ready. Like, these young guys, you can't just throw them in and expect them to all of a sudden, you know, go out and have success. It's not realistic. So, I mean, he's out there. He's running around. He can't wait to get out of the pocket. He's late with throws. He's not picking up blitzes. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, the game's moving too fast for him. And then, to make matters worse now, he's going to be dealing with a knee injury, which is even worse.
Yeah, and you don't know how long he's going to miss. You just really hope to God it's not for the season. I guess he's having an MRI today, and they'll make the determination.
Listen,
but
Dave, just quickly, before you finish your point, listen to the kind of company that this New York Jets team is in right now. Okay? This Jets team is the first team since the Detroit Lions. Oh, yeah, that Detroit Lions team that went 0-16 to be scoreless in the first quarter through their first six games. That's the kind of company you're in right now.
I don't understand how it's possible. I mean, you got destroyed. You allowed 50. You can't move the football. Really, like, typically you watch a game and you say to yourself, well, this was positive and that was positive. I don't know that there was anything coaching staff, player-wise, play calling, anything that was good from that game yesterday.
No, there really wasn't. Nothing, I mean, good at all in that game yesterday. And it's funny, you know, you're hearing, you know, watching that, I don't know how many people watched the second half of that game, but of course I was watching the second half of the game, and the announcers are asking themselves, well, how come the offense looks like they can move the ball now in the second half? Well, I don't know, maybe it's 31-7, maybe?
Right. Game's over.
Maybe that's the reason, because the game's over already? And the defense is just, I mean, they're just trying not to give up big plays? Because they've already pounded you into submission in the first half of the game?
I mean, they crushed you. They were wide receiver throws. I mean, Damian Harris is and you could have run
right up
for
the
100
middle,
yards
all day
yesterday.
Long. Oh, right up the middle all day long.
I mean, no, I've never seen anything like it.
Good. Well, did Quinton Williams play last night, yesterday? I'm just checking. Did he play?
Define the word play.
I mean, he was a non-factor. Quincy Williams, outside of that, you know, one pass that he got his fingertips on, that he almost intercepted, he didn't do much. And then on top of it, I gotta watch Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels just embarrass us further with all these trick plays, these gadget plays.
They were like, listen, guys, empty the holster here. Everything we have, everything we've worked on, everything that we, I mean, possibly could consider running, let's run it today. Let's really, like, they made a statement yesterday. They wanted to embarrass you to no end. And you know what? They did.
Yeah, they embarrassed you. They embarrassed you is what they did. Coming out of a bye, and oh, by the way, with a rookie quarterback. That's the other thing that pissed me off, too. You weren't going to get... This wasn't Tom Brady's on the Patriots.
No, no, no.
This is Mac Jones.
This is a guy that's getting his feet wet in the NFL.
So, I mean, all in all yesterday, I mean, between being embarrassed like that, getting a 50-burger dropped on you, another slow start. You've been outscored 44-0 in the first quarter.
How do you come off a bye? That was off a bye, and you come out and you look like that.
They didn't come out of the bye is the problem. They stayed on the bye. They did not come out ready to compete yesterday. They didn't. Down 31-7.
Oh, my God.
In the first half of that game.
What did New England score?
Nine
of 10 drives they scored points. They could have, I mean, if they wanted to, if there was like some kind of scoring differential they needed to hit to make the playoffs, they could have scored 70 yesterday if they wanted to and needed to.
And don't throw the ball. Can we not throw the ball near J.C. Jackson, please? Just don't even throw it near him. Oh. All he does is intercept passes against the Jets. Just
brutal.
Don't throw the ball near him.
And now you're going to be without Zach Wilson. I mean, really. And again, we came into the season with no expectations. Just compete. And a lot of people thought they could win six games or seven games. Maybe they can still get to five or six because they have some very winnable games on the schedule. But watching yesterday's game was a sight. It really was. I mean it sincerely, I felt badly for you. No one should have to endure that. No one.
No, but I did. I had to endure it, so I don't want to hear another word from you. You got your win. Good. That should hold you over for at least a couple more weeks.
But I never...
Kansas City doesn't look like a juggernaut.
I never once said that the Jets don't what they have to
do
with this
awful. No, I know you didn't, but that would be like me coming to the house, to the Rothenberg estate, and I got Barkley, I mean, eating rocks and whatever else he's eating. The other one's being vomiting and pooping on the wall, and yeah. I'm sitting there at the dinner table going, oh, this pet turtle I have is such a problem. It's too much work for me. You'd punch me right in the face. Right in the face, you'd punch me.
Listen, pet turtles can be very difficult. I don't know what you're having to deal with.
Well, I think you could imagine that a pet turtle is probably easier to deal with than these two savage maniacs.
But I never said. I mean, you know what? If you make it sound like your pet turtle is nirvana. My pet turtle is disgusting. My pet turtle is throwing up on itself as well. My pet turtle is sleeping next to the bed and pooping and peeing all over the place. It's not like my dogs are difficult and your pet turtle is Lassie, for God's sakes.
You haven't got to the Super Bowl.
That's not the point, though. There's levels to this.
I get it. Your level is awful.
Awful.
But my level is terrible, too.
It's like being next to Carlin and saying, I shouldn't have that extra slice of pizza. I feel fat.
Chris,
no.
Can I have this slice of pizza? You think it'll make me look big?
Yes.
Yes. It's a valid point.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So who has it better right now? You, who are sitting there probably watching Jets highlights, or RJ Santillo in the control room, who's watching a documentary on bugs and can't change the channel?
I take bugs right now at the moment.
Right? My question to him is, of course there's an issue and he can't change the channel. But my question to him is, who is the person at some point at ESPN that was like, hey, let me get National Geographic on the TV here, something big is going down today.
Yeah, we have four TVs here. One is Color Bars. One is a documentary on bugs. Now we just had a big development here. One just changed from one paid programming infomercial to Flexio, which is big. So I can watch that. And one TV is off.
Get yourself some of that Flexio, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you turn that other TV on and you don't? Maybe it'll be something. Maybe it'll be like an ESPN vehicle,
like a Mystery Channel.
Maybe. Maybe you watch something on Ted Bundy.
I don't know. This Flexio. What's his name? Billy. No. What's the Flexio?
Billy Mays is long gone.
Yeah. Billy Mays is not with us.
No, RIP Billy Mays. But whatever that guy's name is, he's wearing a Santa hat now, so it's themed. Themed Flexio.
This show kills people that still are alive, and then we'll reference people that are dead as if they're still alive.
Looks like the new guy's name is Phil Swift. So.
Phil Swift.
Do it that what you will.
Wait, the NFL like analyst Phil Swift?
I'm pretty sure he's not the NFL analyst, no.
You sure?
This guy's making way more money than the NFL analyst. They could promise you that.
Oh.
Apparently he just bought a $20 million home in South Florida.
No.
What do you mean, no? You know how much money that guy is making?
No, I know. Clearly, I don't. If he's buying, first of all, $20 million, that's more than Rick's house. Why would you need a $20 million home?
Speaking of which, too, I didn't even realize this. I mean, TV money is I get it. It's a lot of money. So, Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah, yeah. You know who he at least was, maybe still currently is dating?
No, I don't.
Minka Kelly.
Okay, yeah. So, he's doing well. On top of the fact that I saw he recently put his $30 million home up for sale. I didn't realize he was making that kind of money.
I mean, if you got to figure, if you have a $30 million home, how much money must you be worth?
That's the point.
Right?
Yes. 50, I mean, how much money it must to, I mean, between mortgage, taxes, upkeep on that thing?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, take a guess on what Trevor Noah's net worth is.
I'm going to say, well, I wouldn't have said this, but having information I now have, I'm going to say $85 million.
Okay, Rick?
I'm going to go north of that.
You'd be smart to go north.
Yeah, I'm going to go $125.
Close. Split the difference almost. $100 million.
Jeez.
You went over, I win. Unless it's Santiago's Price is Right. And then
I'm going to be Price is Right guy. I'll say minus $299.
That was a perfect opportunity to get the music going.
Yeah, why didn't we get Raymond there in that?
He's perfected. He's got the game down now.
That would be perfect. So wait, he's worth how much?
$100 million.
How?
I don't know.
He makes that much money doing TV, man.
Wait, but he does. That's from The Daily Show, right?
Yes.
He makes that kind of money?
Daily Show is a big vehicle, Dave.
Clearly, I have no understanding.
Dude, Judge Judy was making 40 schmil a year. Judge Judy.
Judy Shinlin?
Was making $40 million a year.
Oh, we got to get on TV.
Strahan, I think, makes close to 30 a year.
It would shock you what Judge Judy is worth. We should get back to football. But
all right, let's
I want to know what Judge Judy is worth.
Let's go. And then we'll get back to the Jets. Now, when you say that he says the music, he means the Price is Right music, by the way.
They put it on the page. Just put it on the first
we
page.
We like the Price is Right, and we would like the music available. And there we go. Okay.
All right.
So who are we guessing here?
Judge Judy.
All right. I'll go first. Now, you said, again, you kind of tipped your hand saying you can't believe what she's worth. I'm going to say $211 million.
211?
Yep.
Okay. I think she's worth way more than that. She's been doing this for a while. I'm going to go $375 million.
Raymond? Give the answer, you got to get Santiago in here.
I think it's worth $1. No.
What do you mean it's worth
$1? I think Judge Judy is worth $1. No. Rick, you said $375?
$375.
I'll say $374.
Wow. Oh my God.
Red. Oh no. Ray, huge. You know that you should. Oh no. He doesn't understand.
Oh, this went sideways.
He really doesn't understand. Like, it's not an act. You should go to some kind of a group. Like, I'm Ray Santiago and I do not understand The Price is Right. Ray, why would you come 374? No!
You couldn't pick a worse number.
374, right? 376 was the number. And when he said 375, I was like, all right, there you go, Ray. 376. It's locked in for you. And can we spend some time after the show to really sit down and explain to him? Because we've tried it on the show, it doesn't work. Right? Just say you don't understand, right?
Did I not establish this already? we're not doing anything earth shattering here, sir.
You're a bright man. Like you single handedly like you run the Knicks and the Rangers.
Oh, clearly I'm not because.
Oh, but I think you are. You are a bright guy. Like you're college educated. You have degrees from university and a high school diploma.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever take logic?
Oh, you can take logic. This is.
Oh my God!
I just ruined my sweatpants.
Oh dear.
RJ, what's the answer?
That was like a Chiefs Patriots D Ford penalty. Like Rick was dead to rights.
Oh.
But he survives to win the game because the net worth is $440.
Ray, can we spend a moment? Just a moment here. By the way, she's worth $500 million.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Ray, do you understand that had you gone $1 higher than Rick, everything from that number to infinity is now yours?
I mean, I do get that, but...
No, you don't! You don't get it!
But I didn't actually think that she was worth more, so...
Okay. All right, hold on, time out.
It doesn't work.
Explain it to him. If that's the
Let's
case...
Let's get Milo.
Dave, what did you bid, Dave?
112,
Dave
maybe?
Was 211.
211?
Okay, so 211. So now, let's get this straight. If you think it's less than the 375, but you think it's more than the 211, then you would go 212. Now you own anything from 212
yes.
to 375.
Right. All the way up.
So all you own really is by taking 374 was 374.
That's it. Because if it was 373, Ray, guess who wins? Me. Me. Do you understand that?
This is...
It's like I said the other day, I still think it's dumb, but I get what you're saying.
Okay, so if you understand what we're saying, why wouldn't you do that then?
Dave, I don't know. I'm operating on no sleep. What do you want me to tell you?
He seized up in the moment.
Now, one of two things has to happen here. We'll take a break in a moment. One of two things. Either we never do this again.
Oh, no, that's already out the window. You know that this is not happening.
More so often than we thought humanly possible.
We'll do it every day, I feel like, now.
I feel like that as well. Anytime someone makes a lot of money, we are going to start guessing it. Raymond, you will go last. And you know what we might have to do? You know, like, today we go around the league 6:45. Tomorrow, it's CMT. Wednesday, Stump Rothenberg. All at 6:45. Thursday, Nobservations and Did It Happen in Florida. Friday, around the league. We might have to incorporate, like, right before that every day, we play the Price is Right game. It's comedy like I've never, I can't even imagine that it comes from this. God, you are a treat. Oh, you really are. Much funnier than the Jets.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
That was a putrid Knicks performance last night. Orlando is lousy. You beat them by 50 down in Orlando on Friday. To come back to the Garden and lose that game, completely unacceptable.
Yeah, I was actually, like, in the moment watching that fourth quarter. I mean, still in shock that they were going to lose that game. But, I mean, this is the new Knicks.
But that is not okay.
No, it's not okay. But this is, I mean, you're talking about a team that averaged 33-point attempts a game last season. They're up close to 50 a game now. Right? And when they did not shoot well from three. Terrence Ross went off in the fourth quarter. 22 in the fourth quarter. I mean, Julius Randle didn't shoot well at all. And he takes a lot of... He works his ass off, so I'm not going to kill him, but he takes a lot of bad shots. A lot of bad shots.
He does. You saw a lot of the old Julius Randle last night where it's the frustrating moments from him. But all that said, I mean, you look at that Orlando team. Cole Anthony, Mo Bamba. I mean, this is not a team littered with talent. The Wagner brothers, you have to win that game if you're the Knicks. I don't care if it's ugly. I don't care if you win by three. I don't care how it plays out. You can't lose to Orlando.
No, I don't disagree with you. I absolutely 100% agree with you. It's you can't excuse it away. It was a terrible loss. But, I mean, you play 82 of these things. You're not going to win all of them.
You're right. But my
you got
point
a six-point lead. Listen, you got a six-point lead going through the fourth quarter at home against the Orlando Magic. That's a game you should win.
Right. That's right. That's it. And that's a bad basketball team. My point is this. I think most of us, and the Knicks fan is excited about this team, and they look at the Knicks and they say they're going to win games this year. And there are expectations this year. Well, if you want to get to, and again, you're going to lose games that are disappointing, but I don't know. You can't have that happen. You know, you have a game against Philadelphia that you could lose realistically, and it wouldn't be the worst loss in the world. Last night, not okay. Just can't happen. And I know you're not saying it is. I don't mean to hammer home the point to you specifically. I'm just saying, like, that's not okay for the Knicks to do that. They can't lose games to Cleveland and Orlando, especially at home. To lose to the Magic is brutal, putrid. Ugh.
Well, let's face it. They embarrassed the Magic down in Orlando.
Yes. A game that was over 6 minutes in.
Yeah, which in the NBA is crazy. Like, everyone makes a run in the NBA. There was no chance. Like, Orlando was, they were dead in the water in that game. And the Knicks shot unbelievable from three. Right, great from three. And that's fine. I get it. You want to have more three-point attempts, the whole thing. Awesome. But that can't be the only way that you score. So you got a game last night where you're not shooting well from three, and Orlando's made the adjustment now because in that game where you blew them out, they switched the zone and you struggled in the half court against the zone. So now all of a sudden you can't score. You're having a hard time scoring points. The only one in the fourth quarter that scored consistently was Derrick Rose. That was it.
That's right.
Fournier, I mean, barely played in the fourth. Kemba didn't play in the fourth.
Nobody could hit a shot. No one.
No one could cover Terrence Ross. I told you they were going to miss Reggie Bullock, his defense. RJ Barrett was having a hard time with Terrence Ross. And Cole Anthony, I mean, he had something on his mind last night.
Yep.
Playing in the Garden.
They made a statement, that's for sure. Knicks are lucky that this wasn't like a Wednesday night performance. They're lucky that was on a football Sunday with everything we have to do today. All right, 800-919-3776. Now, I know you well. If you answer this incorrectly, I'm going to be very disappointed in you. Who are you rooting for in the World Series, Astros or the Braves?
I'm going to root for the Astros.
Good.
Because I know it will annoy Yankees fans if the Astros win the World Series.
Well, not only that. I mean, I would think the Braves are probably the team that you dislike the most in baseball, no? Braves, Phillies?
No, I dislike them, but I hate the Phillies. I can't stand the Phillies.
But you can't be a Mets fan and root for the Braves in the World Series.
No, of course not. That goes without saying. I do like Freddie Freeman, but I could throw that out the window.
Well, I like Dusty Baker, right? I'm sure Yankees fans look fondly on Dusty Baker, but you still have to root for the Braves if you're a Yankees fan.
Correct. I mean, you knew the answer to the question when you asked me it.
This is the New York Nightmare World Series. Yep. Either the Mets or the Yankees are going to be absolutely miserable over the result of this thing.
Houston is good, though, man. Say what you want about Houston. That is a good team.
Look at, and this is what gets me so angry. Look at what each of these teams has done with major injuries. Major injuries. No Verlander for the year. Now their best pitcher is probably McCullers. He's done. And they still go out there. And how good is Yordan Alvarez? He's basically Juan Soto at this point.
Yeah, you can't get him out. He uses the whole field. But that's... how about what the Braves have done with that outfield?
With Noah Acuna?
Well, no, I mean,
no Soroka? Yeah,
the Mets, with the first half that they had, I don't want to talk about the Mets, but, I mean, the Braves are having a hard time getting to 500. They lose Ozuna, they lose Acuna, and rather than just say, you know what, we're good, this isn't our year, they go and completely remake the outfield, and now, I mean, you can't get Eddie Rosario out. You can't get him out.
Nope. That's a big home run from him.
And then that game, I mean, to close out the Dodgers, you're in a spot, I mean, I don't want to just get in the weeds with the game, but, I mean, Tyler Matzek comes in and does work.
Big time.
I mean, you're
work.
Up 4-2 at second and third. He gets out of that.
And nobody out.
So give them the credit. I mean, especially after what happened last season when they had the 3-1 lead against the Dodgers and blew it. But no, I do not. To answer your question, I do not want to see the Atlanta Braves win.
All right. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So, but I think this is the typical, right? The Mets fan will root for the Astros and the Yankees fan. We'll root for the Braves. Let's go around the league, people. Let's go.
It's time to go around the league.
And around the league brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Our pick of the week against the Acacia was a brutal pick. We took the Chiefs. It may not be that something could be wrong. Something is very wrong in Kansas City right now.
They're awful. They're awful. Their defense stinks. Their offense stinks. I mean, you're lucky. I mean, Pat Mahomes, I don't know how he cleared concussion protocol.
Immediately? How is that possible?
I told you. What did I tell you with the whole Daniel Jones thing? You can get yourself through concussion protocol. You saw it. They showed the close-up of his face on the field. And
but the guys carried him off the field.
His eyes, there was nothing behind his eye. It was out. And he's like, no, I'm good. I can play. And Andy Reid's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Easy, buddy. Yeah. You're going to sit on the sideline. They can't stop turning the football over. It's
the defense is just awful.
I mean, it's awful. And how about Derrick? Derrick Henry? I got to throw for a touchdown pass too. No big deal.
Could you imagine that? Now we have to think about him throwing the football.
The old jump pass.
Yep. Is Kansas City? Because we talked about it last week. Teams that you think have a chance and no chance. And we said, Kansas City clearly is in the haves. Are they still? Do you look at Kansas City as a team that can win the Super Bowl?
At the moment, no. I mean, outside of Pat Mahomes, no.
And what do they have? They have Hill, they have Kelsey, they have Mahomes. Their offensive line doesn't look great, and their defense is
no,
like
that
nothing
was
you've ever seen.
That was the thing, too. I mean, their offensive line last year, I mean, you saw it in the Super Bowl, was bad with the injuries and everything else. They got exposed, and then they spent, I mean, the whole offseason fixing the offensive line. You thought it would be good. They got the names on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee, I mean, up front, destroyed them yesterday.
Destroyed them. Here's Andy Reid after the game. We got to get better.
We've got to eliminate the turnovers and penalties, and these are things that we haven't been cognizant of. So I'm seeing things that I hadn't seen before. We just got to fix it. And the players, they know that, and I've got a good locker room, and they'll continue on with it, and the coaches will continue to do it. This is all of us in it. It starts with me. Completely my responsibility and fault for how we play today.
It's hard to envision them winning this division at this point. I mean, Chargers are better. Raiders, I think it's fair to say, are better. Big win from Vegas yesterday, just hammering the Eagles. You see what Derek Carr was? I think it was 31 for 34 in that game yesterday.
They've responded well.
They look better now than even when they were winning games, they didn't look like this.
No, no, but there was some question. I mean, we got a lot of people last week before that game said, oh, this is the one of two ways this thing can go.
Yep.
Either they rally around, you know, inside that locker room, they rally and come out swinging, or they just say, you know what, we're done with this. And they give them credit.
A lot of credit. What are they? They're 5-2 now, the Raiders?
Yeah, they're. I mean, they're top of that division right now.
Yeah, they are. And they now they're on a bye, and then off their bye, I don't think they'll look like the Jets, and they played the Giants at MetLife Stadium. Remember, this is weeks ago, but remember when there was all this concern about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, that they lost to New Orleans, and they're in big trouble?
Not so much.
Yeah, no, not so much. Aaron Rodgers, after another victory, this one over Washington, has this team reached its potential so far this season?
I think we're close. I think it was nice to get Bobby going. It was nice to get Allen a bunch of touches. We didn't run the ball very well. We didn't protect great in first half. Good front. Really good front for first-rounders. But didn't protect necessarily that well. And we had some opportunities if we just hold up a little bit longer. On some plays, I had to kind of deal it and get rid of it. So, but I feel like we're close. We got to keep finding ways to get the ball to our guys in space. But when our defense is playing like they did today, they're going to be tough to beat.
Does anything faze this guy? Like, no, you know, that's how it is.
Okay. No. I mean, he's just in one of those spots right now where just, I mean, football for him is just, it's easy.
It is easy. And, I love that little shot.
Four first-rounders. Yeah.
Did you see the catch that Davante Adams made yesterday?
Yes.
Down the left sideline?
Uh-huh. Gorgeous.
But you know the ball's going to him. Like, he's the guy.
He's the only guy.
He's the only guy.
Yeah, and you can't stop him. Imagine if they actually had a legitimate second receiver on that team.
No, it would be scary. I mean, it really would be. I don't understand. Explain to me the Taylor Heineke play where it looked like it was a touchdown. He celebrates like it's a touchdown, but they said he slid, like he gave himself up. I thought when you slide forward, it's not considered
sliding. In between
sliding.
Santiago and the whole snorting of the COVID booster shot, it has been the theme of the off-air conversation today. You know me. I detest Washington. How is that not a touchdown? He dove into the end zone. I thought if you dive forward, you get your forward progress. Otherwise, if you go feet first, then it's where you started to go down. That's a touchdown. I mean, every single day of the week, that's a touchdown. He crosses the goal line with the ball before he's been touched.
What are they saying that he slid kind of like on his?
I guess
hip.
They're saying he gave himself up, and because he gave himself, that has to be.
But he's not
gave
giving himself up though. Why? But he did use common sense. He's not giving himself up. He's lunging forward to the end zone, even if it's a.
Infuriates me.
But if the quarterback dives head first, that's not considered sliding. Like you're not down until somebody touches you.
That's correct. It's a terrible call. It really is. Now I'm pleased that Washington lost the game, but that's a touchdown.
Is
really,
Ron Rivera going to get fired here at some point? I mean, I don't. I mean, they're on
the stability guy they were bringing in.
Yeah, but they're on the handful of teams that are the most disappointing. It's that defense too. I mean, they stink.
They really do. Four first rounders and they look like that. Is there a bigger win in the NFL yesterday than the Bengals? I would say no. I mean,
no.
They didn't just get by Baltimore; they hammered Baltimore.
No, they destroyed Baltimore. Now, it's the Bengals. I think that's why people aren't giving them the kind of credit that
they're
probably
good.
Deserve at the moment. But, yeah, between... We all like Joe Burrow. Everyone likes Joe Burrow. The kid's got, I mean, whatever that intangible is, that
He's
swag,
it.
Whatever it is, guys
yep.
buy into it. But Ja'Marr Chase, man. I Oof. Mean, between him, Joe Mixon...
Uzoma?
Yeah, they have. And their defense is playing good. Their defense gave Baltimore
their defense
fits
is
yesterday.
Good. Their defense is really good. You know, if they give him protection, which they've been able to do, you know, T. Higgins is good. Boyd is good. And Ja'Marr Chase is different level. Now you got Mixon. And now you got Uzoma. That's a team to be reckoned with. I mean, that's... All right, let me ask you this now.
Okay.
Better chance to go to the Super Bowl. Bengals or Chiefs?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Pat yourself on the back. That's a
Thank
great question.
You appreciate that one.
I would probably still...
I'll tell you what. Take a moment. Let's hear from Joe Burrow saying that's a big win for Cincinnati.
I think it was a big statement. You know, we're 2-0 in the division for the first time that I can remember. And, you know, the most exciting thing, two of the last three drives were, you know, they knew we were going to run the ball. And the O-line really took it to them. That was exciting to see. I know those guys were fired up about that. So that's how you should finish a game. You start out throwing the ball, getting out up on top, and then the O-line finishes it off.
All right, let's revisit you now. Chiefs or Bengals, better chance to go to the Super Bowl?
Well, you got to make the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm. Typically, yes.
So right now, I mean, you'd say that Cincinnati is trending more towards making the playoffs right now since they're top of their division than
right. And look Kansas at that. He said they're 2-0 in the division. True, they're 2-0 in the road in the division. Right, that they went into Pittsburgh and hammered them, and then went to Baltimore and hammered them.
By the way, too, I mean that the Jamar Chase 82-yard catch on a touchdown where he spins out
gorgeous.
That was night time. That was it. It was over at that point.
Gorgeous. Jared Goff going up against his old team, Matthew Stafford as well. That was a competitive game. Dan Campbell would have done anything to win that game yesterday. Onside kicks, fake punts, whatever it took, he was going to try to do it yesterday.
Which I like. Isn't that what you're supposed to do in a situation like that? Like, no one expects you to win this game, right? I mean, from everything I was told, is that the Rams wanted to destroy Jared Goff, and they fought their butts off. And the coach, listen, I'm going to give you everything I got. That's the message from every coach. Give me everything you got. Well, if I'm going to give you everything I got, then you give me everything you got. All right, we'll empty it. I'm going to put you, whatever it takes to try to win this game, we're going to try it. So give them credit. They fought.
They did all the way through. Matthew Stafford enjoyed seeing some of his former teammates there yesterday.
Good to see them. You know, I just haven't seen those guys in a while. Talked to them, you know, on text and all that kind of stuff. But just good to see their face, see those guys. Spent a lot of time with a lot of those people over there and really have some great relationships. So it was good to see those people again.
He's good. Cooper Kupp is a phenomenal receiver.
Yeah,
huh?
He's a stud.
My God. A lot of weapons on that team, too.
Him and Woods.
Because Higbee's good. Woods, Kupp, Henderson. They got a lot of weapons. That's a good football team. You know what? And we say this all the time. When you don't play well and you still win, that's a sign of a good team. And that's what you saw from the Rams.
Well, you know what that Cooper Kupp is the equivalent of? Like, we were talking about, you know, Zach Wilson and how frantic he looks in the pocket. Can't wait to get out of the pocket. Doesn't, you know, he's ball's not coming out on time. And then, like, you got Mac Jones where it's plays called. He reads the defense, processes what's going on. Boom, ball's out. And it's accurate. Ball's out. Like, you can't even, they weren't putting any pressure on him because the ball's getting out because the ball's on time. Like, that's like Cooper Kupp. It's like the guy's going to run the route he's supposed to run. He's going to be where he's supposed to be. And as a quarterback, you must love that.
Oh. Yeah.
There's no guesswork with him.
But the thought was he's kind of a security blanket. He's not. He's a big play weapon. He's a goal line guy. He's a red zone guy. He's an everything guy. Tom Brady throws his 600th career touchdown. The Buccaneers absolutely destroy Chicago yesterday down in Tampa. That game was over, and it was over early. And I'm thrilled to watch the Bears lose, and Justin Fields looks completely overwhelmed right now.
Did you see Mike Evans gave the ball away, too?
Why would he do that?
I don't think he realized it. I don't think he realized that was the 600 touchdown pass.
Was that the one he gave to the kid?
No.
Why did Brady go over? Because I was watching all the games.
So that's different. That was after the game. So that kid was holding up a sign that said, "Tom Brady helped me beat cancer."
Oh.
So Tom Brady went over and you know, gave me
a
hat.
And you saw the reaction the kid
had.
Oh,
yeah. The kid was, he was crying. No, but Mike Evans gave away, and I'm sure that guy's probably happy that he got the ball because he's going to get whatever he's going to get from Tom Brady. But the Buccaneers had to send someone over to barter. Okay, you're going to give me that ball back. What are we doing?
I wouldn't settle for anything less than huge amounts of cash.
Huge amount of cash?
Yeah.
What about a chance to like spend some time with Tom Brady, though?
Well, maybe Giselle. I don't want to spend time with Brady. I want to spend time with Giselle. Give me a night with Giselle. What's that movie with Demi Moore and Robert Redford? Give me that. And then you got it. Here's your ball. Here is Tom Brady. Very excited to get his 600th touchdown back.
That was really cool. I got in the bag over there. So Mike gave it away. He goes, "Man, I'm sorry, man. I get it. I said sorry. I'm sure they'll figure out a way to get it back." But I don't actually keep too many things. So in that circumstance, I felt like that might be a good one to keep.
Well, 600. There'll be 700.
First 600. Yeah, that's pretty
800.
Solid.
I mean, when does it stop with this guy already?
That's with no Gronk and no Antonio Brown.
No Antonio Brown, right? No Antonio Brown. All right, there you have it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
I told you he'd put you in a good mood, and a football frenzy will do just that. Now, DiPietro and Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. All right, you know how it works. We pop you on, you ask your question, and you move along. No haze. How you doing? Rick, I think you're so funny. Your love affair with Kay is uncomfortable. None of that. Rick, you ready to roll here?
All right, listen. I needed a frenzy since the second half tipped off yesterday, that Jets game.
All right, so we're going to frenzy here, and then Rex Ryan's going to join us in about 11 minutes from right now. So it's going to be a very good close to the show. Joe Dix Hills, you, my friend, lead off the frenzy.
Are you encouraged at all about Zach Wilson? Because before he got hurt, two out of the first three drives.
Joe, we don't need the whole opinion there. The question is, are you encouraged at all by Zach Wilson? My answer is no.
Absolutely not.
No.
Nope.
He's athletic. He has a good arm. I've seen very little from him on the field for me to be encouraged.
No, you see flashes. I mean, you see flashy plays. Like that throw to Griffin he made was an awesome throw, but I mean, that's... No, again, it's another game, another first quarter where you do nothing.
Yep, it's another lost game. Steve in Woodbridge. Steve, you're on the frenzy.
How much noise will Raiders make in a playoff this year?
What was the question about the Raiders?
The Raiders making the playoffs.
I would have said no, but looking at what Kansas City is and looking how the Raiders have played for their new head coach, I'm inclined to say they will, yes.
Inclined to say they will. We get the extra playoff team. Do you think, the better question is, do you think they hold on to win the division?
No. I think the Chargers win the division. I think the Raiders will get a wild card.
Because it's fair to say that Justin Herbert is your favorite player in the NFL.
I think he's great. I think he's great, and I think that team is loaded with talent. And I love Staley. So, yeah, listen, I like what the Chargers bring to the table. Is that bad?
All right, here's a Stump Rothenberg question.
Okay.
Not a Stump Rothenberg, a football frenzy question. Okay. Given the opportunity right now to have one or the other, Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert, who are you taking?
That's a gorgeous question. I'll take Justin Herbert, but I'll take the scraps of that one. I mean, those guys are both going to be terrific for a long time.
Burrow does have that like special little something.
He does, but I think Herbert does as well, and I think that Herbert's the more athletic of the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, bigger.
Bigger,
better,
throws better on the run.
Yep,
pick up some. But Burrow is
can't
special.
Go wrong with either though. Yeah,
Bengals are that's a good football team. Brian in Albany. Brian, you're on the frenzy.
Why is Jabril Peppers returning punts, or any starting player in the NFL? Why are they returning?
Why is he returning punts? He's, I mean, they don't look. Peppers is not a staple of the team.
No, Peppers isn't. I could get if you called in and said, why is C.D. Lamb returning punt?
Yeah.
I could get it.
Peppers is not a star on this team.
He was losing playing time.
I think there's a good chance that Peppers is traded by next Tuesday. They don't look at him as if we were to lose Jabril Peppers, we would have some catastrophic moment. Michael in the car. Mike, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, Daniel.
Yeah, good job, Santi. No, none of the hay. What's going on? Todd in West Islip. Todd, you're on the frenzy.
Being that we haven't scored in the first quarter every single game this whole season, why does the Jets coaching staff insist on deferring to the second half?
It's a great question. Wouldn't you like to give yourself an opportunity to get the ball first and set the tone of the game?
Well, what's the tone going to be? A three and out?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's recognition.
Really matter. That's
the coaching staff recognizing that they stink to start games.
Why can't they roll the kid out on the run and have him just throw a safe 8-yard pass? Well, why can't they just do something like that?
Well, he's going to have to be willing to do it. I mean, there are times. I mean, you watch. There are times that the throw is there initially. He decides, I'm not going to take that now. And by the time he gets back to it, it's already gone. It's too late. I mean, the one nice easy throw he had was the Keelan Cole. Picks you up 6 yards. See, that's the secret sauce,
but
like Tom
do that
Brady.
All the time.
But that, first of all, guys got to get open. But secondly, like, you have to be willing to do it. That same stuff's happening right now with Kansas City. We're going to take away the big play. You want to go down? You want to go up and down the field, dinking and dunking? Go ahead. But you got to be
willing
to do
it. Kansas City is different animal. You're the Jets. You're Zach Wilson. You're Rob Saleh. You want to go 13 plays, 8 yards a shot down the field and score a touchdown? Let's do it, guys.
But your quarterback has to want to do it.
Well, you have to tell him this is what you're going to do.
I don't disagree, but I mean, someone's gonna have to tell Zach Wilson that.
Well, that time better happen soon. Pedro Hernandez, great fan of the show, Pedro Hernandez. Biggest surprise for you guys yesterday, Bengals or the Titans throttling win? Bengals, not even close for me. You agree?
Bengals on the road, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Corey in Greenwich. Good morning, Corey.
Hey, Rick, don't feel bad. I still think...
I forget it. We're done. We're done. You know, this is not, hey, Corey's show. This is in and out.
Pedro, the Giants. Why are you hanging up?
Pedro, you're on the frenzy.
Yes. Do we blow everything up even after the win for the Giants?
Oh, we have to see how the season progresses.
No, I would sign Gettleman to an extension after that.
Stop it. You shut your mouth.
I've tried in the past.
We have to see how it plays out. All right, we can't make a determination sitting here 2-5. Let's see what they are the rest of the way. And there you have it. How'd you feel about that, frenzy?
Extensions for everybody. Gettleman, all of them. Extensions.
We are the Giants.
Don't make me sing Corey Davis to you.
Corey Davis had a big touchdown. What
don't
did
make,
Kenny Golladay,
don't
what
make it, me come up with a Zach Wilson
what did,
song.
What did Kenny Golladay do yesterday?
Corey Davis, so. Corey Davis.
I'm taking the Panthers
big contract of Corey Davis. The Giants won by 20. The Jets lost by 40. And you're Mr. Joke Man this morning? Doesn't work like that.
Your Dolphins. I mean, your defense, by the way, too. Oh,
gorgeous.
Complete opposite, though. It was like the Patriots scored on. I'm watching the Patriots score on almost every possession, and then I watched the Giants game where. The Panthers couldn't help but not get fair. Like, it was like watching the Jets offense.
Yeah.
Eight of the 12 possessions, no first downs.
That was Sam Darnold running point on the Panthers yesterday.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Rick, is it fair to say your favorite time of the week when Rex Ryan joins us on this glorious Monday morning after the Giants had a beautiful victory yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, of course it is yours. Pretend like you don't care about the Giants. I'm apathetic, and then they win. I've never seen you better move.
I'm somewhat apathetic, though. I'm somewhat apathetic. No. But I love having Rex on, and let's bring him in. Rex, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Giants are the best team in the league.
I think it's
very all I
accurate.
Can say.
So, I think, and you know this, like you always start with dysfunction, right? Whether it's a family member. You never talk about the functional on the team that is doing well. You talk about the team that is the most dysfunctional. I don't even have a specific question for you on the Jets yesterday. Just give me your take on what happens from here. Zach Wilson, Rob Saleh, like what your outlook on the Jets. What's your opinion on what the Jets are right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, first off, guys. 54 points? That doesn't happen anywhere. Like, how in I don't understand what you have to play them twice. Like, there's no chance you give up 54 points. And here's the scariest thing. That's off a bye week. Like, what were you doing over the bye week? It absolutely makes no sense. I'm going to tell you, this defense is not playing well either. Like, there is no passion. There's nothing here. And you know, we're all excited because we want to see this young quarterback play. And, well, now he's hurt. You know, so I don't know. I think what happens, I think agents, they put these staffs together. Like Robert Saleh, the agent's the one that drove it. They're the ones who got to the media and said, this is the guy we should hire. When if you look back in the numbers and all that, I mean, go ahead and do the research now. Maybe it's not as awesome of a hire as we all said it was. And then they marry this guy up, who's an unproven head coach, with an unproven coordinators, and this is kind of what you get. So it's an F for coaching. It's an F for playing. It's an F for passion. It's an F for effort. It's an F for everything. And, I mean, you gave up 54 points, not to Tom Brady, but to a rookie quarterback also. So it looks like you have a veteran staff who actually knows what to do with their quarterback, and then you got a staff that really lacks experience and has no idea what to do with their quarterback.
See, Rex, that's what bothers me, right? And I said this after the first time they played the Patriots, too, was, I mean, the reason why Robert Saleh was hired was because of the success he had with the Niners as their defensive coordinator. And, you know, first meeting, Belichick exposes Zach Wilson, right?
Right.
And we did. I mean, they win. And Mac Jones, like you mentioned, is a rookie. Going into this game, you have an extra week to prepare. You've already seen the Patriots. You've already seen Mac Jones. And, again, you get into this game, and, again, Jets struggle. don't score again in the first quarter. Your quarterback gets hurt. And Mac Jones looked like a seasoned vet against this defense. Like, I mean, this is – I get you get punched in the mouth once in a while, but this was not the right time to get punched in the mouth coming off a bye.
Yeah, why is it like – no rookie quarterback can beat a Bill Belichick team, right? We understand that, even though we beat them twice with rookie quarterbacks. I get it, okay? But you have to know what the hell you're doing to beat them, all right? We never expected them to beat them. I mean, nobody did. But here's the thing. When like, are we surprised by a screen pass by New England? When you got a quarterback that loves the short passing game, rhythm, timing, all those type of things underneath guy, and we're giving up screen passes all over the place. It's like, what? It's like the first time you ever seen it. And, oh, the Patriots don't run it? I mean, come on. The Jets been beaten by this over and over and over all season, and we don't see any adjustments. And that's the thing that drives me crazy when I just see bad football. And on top of that, you're coming off a bye where you ought to be popping out of your skin to play, you know, against a team like New England. And make no mistake by it, like, you have certain teams that you can't stand. That ought to be this football team. And this is the effort you give? Man, it was a complete embarrassment. Now, look, I've had my ass kicked by New England before, but it wasn't by lack of passion, effort, or anything like that. That's what we saw today. They went out there, or yesterday, they went out there and did absolutely nothing. Like, what are you hanging your hat on? Like, you're trying to explain this offense. Are you ground and pound? Are you, you know, what the hell are you? There's no answer. And to me, that's troubling.
Very troubling. Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So I have buddies that I talked to yesterday, Jets fans. They're beside themselves, and they're already kind of the mindset that maybe Rob Saleh is not the answer. Not because they're not winning games, Rex, because they're losing by 40 because they look like they've never played football before. Is that just unfair? Can you be frustrated and concerned at this moment about the new head coach, or do you just need to sit back and say, he deserves time, let's not freak out yet?
They're going to give him time. Whether he deserves it or not, they're going to give him time. I don't think there's any question about that. But this is an absolute embarrassment. So he deserves the criticism he's getting. So I understand the questions, but he's going to get time. You know, it's just brutal. But, I mean, it just, like, I was excited. This guy was supposed to be, you know, hell, they said all the good about that Rex Ryan brought in, that's what this guy's bringing without the negatives. I'm like, really? Well, all I see is a hell of a lot of negatives. I don't see a whole lot of positives. But anyway, I mean, it can't get any worse, right? Like, well, maybe it can, that your quarterback can't play. I'll take it back.
Well, you couldn't have scripted it any worse. I mean, that was worst case scenario of what happened yesterday. I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, he's the first time head coach. He ends up hiring his buddies as defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator, right? So the whole thing just it drives me crazy. Rex, the question I want to ask you is this: so there are a lot of people, and I think it's ridiculous, but there are people saying it, that once Zach Wilson went out, that the offense seemed to function better with Mike White, different kind of quarterback, different skill set. Now, the strange thing about Zach Wilson that you notice is, and I'm sure you would do this to him to confuse him and everything else, but we're going to take away the easy stuff and make you beat us outside the numbers, right? Like, that would be most young quarterbacks. This kid's the opposite. It's like he excels with the throws, like the difficult throws outside the numbers, but he can't complete any of the easy stuff underneath. Is that something, like, can they coach that out of him? I mean, is it partly him to blame that the offense isn't working right? Or is this, who do you put more of the blame on, Zach Wilson or Mike LaFleur at the moment?
Well, I mean, I put it on. I mean, obviously, it's both, but it's like, he's a young quarterback, so he doesn't scan the field very well right now. That's what happens to a lot of young quarterbacks. Okay, so you got to kind of make it easier for him or whatever. So show me how you're making it easy for the quarterback. I'm waiting on an answer because there is none. So that's coaching as well. But you've had all this time with this guy, and these are the results that you're producing. All right. So what my eyes tell me is that, look, the quarterback doesn't know what the hell he's doing. All right. And who's that on, himself or the coach? I don't know. Let you answer it. But to me, that's kind of what it feels like. And I get it. When they brought the other kid in, it almost looked like, hey, you know, maybe this guy's got a better understanding of the offense. Well, that's a concern, too, if that's the case.
Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So, Rex, let me ask you about the Giants. We've all been very critical of them, very much so.
Yeah.
You with Joe Judge and everything. Do we have to give them the credit for yesterday of coming out there and answering the bell and playing good football and Jones making plays and the defense playing exceptional?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to give them credit. I mean, this is the kind of defense we expected. You know, at least I expected that the Giants would show up in. Now, did it take Sam Darnold and all that? By the way, all you Sam Darnold apologists out there, this is who Sam Darnold is. Okay, so make sure you accept it, that this kid, I mean, he's struggling beyond belief to play. How many teams is it going to take for you finally to sit back and say, this was a mistake to draft Sam Darnold, and we'll move on. But the Giants, their credit. Man, look, that Williams kid, he was a monster. And that's what we expected from this team. So they were absolutely terrific, I thought, in the game. And Daniel Jones played well. You want this team. This is what Joe Judge was supposed to bring, this kind of damn toughness, all that, and they played that way yesterday. Now, I want to tell you, here's the scary thing if you're a Giant fan. All right, if you don't like Joe Judge, I get it, okay? Nobody likes Joe Judge. Well, the guy you wanted at first was this Rule. How's he done?
It
could have been
too.
Damn 0-2 on those picks.
The Jets almost hired him, too.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying. It's like, again, I don't know who drives it. I mean, I know who drives it. It's the agents. You know, hey, let's drive it. Here's what we want. That guy got a seven-year deal. A seven-year deal. For what? For what? This? Like, oh, my goodness. Like, that's not very good either. So, but give the Giants credit, man. Look, and Joe Judge, you don't think for a second Joe Judge knew that, hey, this Rule is the guy that they really wanted. Like, that team looked like they were prepared. You know, the Giants, they looked like they were prepared, and they looked way more physical than the team they were playing.
Rex, tell me if you felt the same thing watching that game, especially with how they used Daniel Jones, because that was not the same. I mean, the play calling against the Rams, I don't know if he wasn't – I didn't think he should have been playing anyway.
Yeah.
And we criticized him, you know, with the quarterback sneaks and everything else. But the way they called the game yesterday was you could tell there was a sense of urgency. Like, if it was going to get Daniel Jones killed, fine. Like, they were going to do whatever it took to win that football game. In saying all that, I think we all agree Daniel Jones is a really good athlete. And they need to use him, you know, use his legs and everything else. But is there a little piece of you that gets nervous that if he continues to play that way, that he's not going to last? Because he takes some big shots.
Yeah, he does. And there's no question. But that's who this kid is. Like, the Giants hit it, they got it right when they drafted Daniel Jones. They got it right. And so people that think, well, they shouldn't bring him back. What? Are you kidding me? Like, this dude's an athlete. He's competitive as hell. He's only going to get better. Like, that's kind of how you see it. You know, he's got some leadership ability. The quarterback is not the issue for this football team. It's those hog mollies or whatever that you were supposed to be bringing in here. That's the issue with this team.
Absolutely. Last one, Rex, we'll let you go. We know you got to run. This might be a crazy statement, but I don't think it is. Can I say that Cincinnati is the second best team in the AFC right now?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. Because, look, they had to prove it to me. Because, you know, going in there, it's like, all right, I hear it. I see it. You guys look way better. You're way better defensively than you've been. Ja'Marr Chase brings an entire different element to this football team. But until you beat Baltimore, we can't put you in that light. Well, right now, they beat the hell out of Baltimore. So, yeah, you got to say that. I mean, I still like Buffalo in this division or, you know, in the AFC, But my gosh, yeah, I guess you got to put Cincinnati up there. And here's the craziest thing ever, that the New York Jets beat the Tennessee Titans.
It's amazing.
What? The Titans just got through dominating the Kansas City Chiefs, the two-time AFC, you know, champion. And oh, by the way, they beat the hell out of the number one ranked offense and defense in the entire football league, the Buffalo Bills. So explain it to me. I don't understand. But the only thing I can say is, you know, they obviously laid their jocks out there when they played the Jets. But that's what happens in this league. Everybody's a professional. But, man, they must have been sleepwalking in that game.
Yeah, unbelievable. Rex, we appreciate it. The podcast you can listen to all over the place, Organized Chaos with Bart Scott. Good stuff as always. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys, look forward to it.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.